you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Does the fact that our guy Brad Biggs mentioned yesterday that the Bears play five of the six worst passing defense in the NFL consecutively mean it's time for Caleb Williams and the offense to cash in on a favorable condition? Well, the Bears open things up starting Sunday against Carolina. Do you expect Williams to begin putting up bigger passer ratings against opponents who have averaged from 100.8 to 123.3 passer ratings against?
It's pretty extraordinary. Their next five opponents have allowed opposing passers to be over 100 in their passer rating in every game, and these are really, there's some really high numbers. I think, again, if you're allowing somebody to throw for 123.3, you're not playing much defense. Now, that's Washington, and they're playing some pretty good offense. So that'll be a fascinating game after they get through the bye week following the London trip next week. So there's a lot to look at. I keep wondering why the offense isn't able to connect downfield, why the Bears are not able to put points up on the board in the early parts of games. And I keep going back to this idea, and I don't want to dismiss it altogether. This idea that their offensive line is not giving them enough time to get that done. And I you know, whenever you're patchworking an offensive line, and whether that's because you have a player that you overpaid that doesn't belong in the starting five, or you've got injuries, or you've got a guy that's out that hasn't come back, whatever the case may be, they got to figure out a way to get more time for the quarterback, and that will resolve some of these issues. But, you know, the game plan last week was just get rid of the ball, get rid of the ball, get rid of the ball. I think the game plan should shift a little this week. I think this is an opportunity to add in some elements to what they were doing a week ago to get the ball downfield more and to maybe incorporate the use of wide receivers in their attack this week.
Well, if not now, when? Right? If you're not going to put the ball up in the air now, when in the world would you do it? This is not a great pass rush. It's not a great defense. Offensive line should look better pass protecting. And the good news is that Tevin Jenkins was limited in practice, and I think they could use him on Sunday.
Protect the quarterback, trust the quarterback, and allow him to use his arm talent to push the ball down the field. You've got to stress the fact that he needs to push the ball down the field. It's an opportunity, really, for Caleb Williams and the Bears on a broader scope to establish a passing game that has been disappointing through four games. Let's be honest here. We've spent the offseason and largely much of the preseason talking about obviously Caleb Williams dominated conversations. And the second, I think, most talked about thing was the receiving trio that they had. They have Keenan Allen, who's been, you know, kind of injured. DJ Moore, who's been underutilized, Decoy Moore, and Roma Dunze, who has been okay, but I don't think that all three of them together have been what we expected. This is an opportunity Sunday to see what you've got in terms of weaponry. So show it off. Protect the quarterback. Build a clean pocket. Let him sit there and throw down the field, not horizontal, vertical. And I think this is a chance against a defense that will make it a little bit more easy to move the chains than some of the defenses you have faced. If Caleb Williams finishes Sunday with a passer rating lower than 100, I think you'll be mildly disappointed because of what is possible against this defense and the kind of growth that we have seen from him the last couple weeks.
Oh, boy, that's a tough question.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. Biggs time, 7 a.m. What's the key position matchup in Sunday's game between the Bears and the Panthers? Do the Panthers have an advantage in any area?
Well, I think that, to me, the only way the Panthers can feel like they're going to threaten the Bears and upset the Bears is that they have an offensive line against the Bears' defensive line, and they use the running game, like other teams have against the Bears. They use the running game to set up play action passing, and Andy Dalton is efficient. That's got to be their game plan. The key positional matchup in that context is the offensive line for the Panthers against the defensive front of the Bears. And the offensive line for the Panthers is not bad. Is not as bad as the rest of their team. Certainly not as putrid as their defense. And you get what you pay for. And I was stunned to learn when I saw this last night. Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times pointed this out. There are only two other teams in the NFL that have invested more in their offensive line than the Carolina Panthers. That is a commitment. And so if those guys up front for the Panthers can figure out a way with Chuba Hubbard, who's got maybe one of the best names for a running back in the NFL. Chuba Hubbard. This is a guy who could find some space, perhaps. If not, he's going to make some room himself. Chuba Hubbard, look out. He's coming down that hole, and he's going to hit you. I think you've got to stop the run. This offensive line will be committed to establishing the run. To me, that is the positional matchup, because from that, all things will come. If you can do that, then you can come after Andy Dalton. You can harass him. He's not immobile at this stage of his career. He's 36, for goodness sakes. Make him rattled. He will throw you the football. Make him fumble and capitalize. Get a lead, and then offensively things will fall into place. But it all starts with how well the Bears' defensive front handles the Panthers' offensive line.
Well, Thursday's coordinator day up at Hallis Hall, and the D.C., Eric Washington, said the stars of the Panthers are the O-line and, as David just mentioned his name, and it's a fun one, Chuba Hubbard. And last week, something that even though the Bears won the game last week, they were kind of getting gashed in the second half against the run. I'm sure the Panthers noticed that. Okay, they get paid too. You know how you stop a passing game? You know how you stop a bad defense that can't defend the pass? You run the ball, you control the line of scrimmage, you maintain time of possession. So the Bears need to stop the run, or we're not going to be able to see Caleb Williams put the ball down the field because he's not going to be out on the field long enough.
Yeah, I think most of the matchups are good for the Bears in this game. I mean, I'm just being honest. I think that Chuba Hubbard, as a Canadian, the guy was he played 3 years at Oklahoma State. I think he was an early entry guy, came out as a junior. He's still only 25 years old.
Wow.
Still a young guy. He's been in the league for 4 years. So it's interesting that they got a line and they got a running back, and the Bears have been allowing teams to run the football against them. The Bears are also, did I see this correctly? They have the second highest pressure rate from their defensive line on quarterbacks. That's pretty outstanding. Mm-hmm. So I'm not overly concerned about if they obviously get the running game going and they can play action, and then there's no doubt the Red Rifle can hurt you. But he's not as mobile as he once was, and I think they can keep him in the pocket. And he's kind of a stationary target at this point in his career. So I think that you can kind of tee off on him. The key here is the Bears need to get up early in the game. And this is a team that allows that will allow you points early in the game. What do they allow in the first quarter? 13 points, something like that. So that is a team you need to get a couple touchdowns and then situationally put them in a position where they can't run the football as much as anything else. The Bears, because they don't score early, they have failed to really play good situational football. They've been unable to get ahead in these games, and they've trailed, I think, the third most of any team in the league. That's pretty ugly. I mean, they need to get ahead and play from ahead, and then tee off on the quarterback.
Did you know that Chuba Hubbard had 2,000 yards his junior year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was like one of those, Barry Sanders kind of Oklahoma State
unbelievable
guy.
He had don't underestimate Chuba Hubbard.
No one is.
Yeah, the Bears have been playing from behind way too much. The only team worse than the Bears, as far as that goes, if I understood the stat correct, the Dolphins have not led for 1 minute so far this year.
Hey, well, here's another question.
Okay.
We got the next question. Third question.
The Bears, they've managed just 3 total points in the first quarter thus far. Will Sunday mark the breakthrough? Did Shane Waldron sufficiently answer why the starts have been slow?
I'm sorry. I just giggle when you lose your track there. It's understandable. We're all talking at once. I'm the one who screwed it up. I'm sorry. I injected the Chuba Hubbard stat. Good question.
And that led to Dustin thinking he should then go.
How many first quarter points will they score on Sunday?
All right. We're back on track now. So I think that, although I'm jumping in, I'm sorry.
I'm out of order. You go.
The Bears have not scored enough in the first quarter. That goes without saying. I didn't realize until doing a little bit more looking at the numbers, only the Eagles are behind the Bears in terms of first quarter futility. They haven't scored, and the Bears are second to the last. The Bears are the last in the league in yards per play in the first quarter, 2.67 yards per play. Mm. The one number that I can't get past, they have snapped the ball 46 times in the first quarter this season, and 16 of those 46 runs have been for 0 or fewer yards. That's crazy. Think about that percentage. All right, so what do you do? We heard from Shane Waldron yesterday. We heard from Shane Waldron talk about a script. First 15 are scripted. Is that pretty typical? Pretty standard? Lose the script.
Yep.
Lose the script. Don't script your plays.
Script them better.
You can script them better,
that's
Molly.
That's an advantage for teams.
If you're going to do that, and you're going to, I know every team does it, and I know it's the standard, but if you're having this kind of these kind of problems in the first quarter, I would adjust the way that I did business in the first quarter. Maybe go a little bit more by feel. Where are you in field position? I'm sure they factor all these things in, but you need something to start faster to get a lead. What would the Bears look like with a lead? I don't know, but it doesn't really help by just continuing to do the same thing with the same approach. So I'm hoping they take a different approach and the results are different.
Yes, a different approach is definitely needed. There's no doubt about that. Those scripted plays are not working. Specifically, it says how many first quarter points will they score on Sunday? The first half total is out there right now on Circus Sports Illinois. It's not, the quarters haven't been broken down yet, but it's 20. It's not even 20 and a half. It's 20 on the nose. I think the Bears might score 20 by themselves in the first half. I think the Bears are going to, and here's what I'd really be interested in. Wow. I wonder if this time, if the Bears were to win the coin toss, typically they defer and you get the ball in the second. I wonder this week with the stats that we're talking about, if they won the toss, would they take the ball this week because of all these numbers that we're talking about? Would they buck the trend and let's get out there?
Who did that? Did Detroit do that in their game? I think that's an interesting idea.
At home, right, against a team that's not good against
the
pass.
Take the ball. Don't worry about the second half.
Let's just go for it right away.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, again, this is an opponent that will, that will be there for you if you want to score some points early. So I think they need to get a couple of touchdowns in the first quarter of the game. That's what I'm looking for, and make things easy on themselves and win this game, by, I don't know, a couple of touchdowns that you score early
in the
game.
That's a blowout.
A
2-touchdown win is a blowout in the NFL.
That's what they need.
Okay.
That's what they need. They need to end the suspense early, and the fact that they can't do that should be a huge red flag. This idea is scripting 15 plays good. Yes, it's an excellent thing. You go to the quarterback, you put your heads together. What do you like to do? What is your favorite play against this type of defense? You come up with the stuff the guy wants to run. You come up with one special play. You also make sure you're getting yards on first down, and then you go ahead and put that together. You should always be operating at a high level to open a game because of the fact that you've had this much time and you can put plays together. it is a very bad sign they can't do it.
Remind me to get back to this 15-play scripted thing, because the way defense come at you might be different. We need to get back to whether that's a good idea or not for the Bears to cling to.
So you think that, well, we'll get back to it. I would love to talk about that. I think what you're saying is, with a quarterback, you want them to show what they're going to do before you start calling plays?
Yes, because I wonder if the fact that they give you a different look affects your ability to process, or what the play in from the sidelines because of personnel groupings, and then everything gets out of whack because all of a sudden you've got 7 seconds on the play clock and you haven't called your cadence yet.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Oh, my God, what a question. What a question.
That's the voice of Joe Fortenbaugh. He's here at 7:40. Get your pencil, get your paper, get it out, get it ready. It seems Mr. David's Milwaukee reversal came at the wrong time with future Cubs slugger Pete Alonso hitting a three-run homer in the ninth to lift the Mets to a 3-2 victory over the Brewers. Can you believe the
4-2.
Brewers...
Sorry, it was 4-2. I
4-2. Can you believe Devin Williams blew the save and hit a batsman and gave up an insurance run as well?
He unraveled. He unraveled like I unraveled watching. I was watching this and feeling so good about my declaration, change of heart, getting ready to feast on brats and beers today somewhere after the show.
You would never feast.
I was getting ready to the congratulatory text to Murph. Hey, way to go, buddy. God, great job. And then the polar bear plunged those emotions of Milwaukee. I just was disappointed. But you know what? From you take a step back and watching the replay again, goodness sakes, when he rounds first and goes and does the chef's kiss,
that's
a moment.
Yeah.
That's a moment in October that just is, you never get tired of seeing from a baseball fan perspective, because it was great drama. Not good drama. This was memorable drama. The biggest home run of Pete Alonso's career, and he's hit a ton of them. I think it also took him off the market for free agency. No way Steve Cohen lets him leave now. They advance. What they do against the Phillies is, maybe they'll continue it, but I think it's probably irrelevant. They have maxed out their magic, and I think they might be all out of it. But last night was disappointing if you were pulling for the Brewers. And yes, my reversal did come at a bad time.
I felt better after the fact. Yesterday, I was kind of torn. As a Cub fan, who do you pull for? You pull for the Mets or you pull for the Brewers? And I got to tell you, when the Brewers hit those back-to-back home runs, I felt miserable as a Cub fan. They were partying up there. They were having fun. I mean, what's with guys running out of the dugout in the middle of a game now?
It's the playoffs.
I almost felt like it should have been like a penalty. Like the next batter should have started with an 0-1 count because of unnecessary celebrating. Like, come on. I mean, it's not a walk-off yet. Get excited, but stay in your dugout.
Did you bring your badge, Mr. Fun Police?
I mean, stay in your dugout. Give me a break.
Really? It's postseason baseball.
Pete Alonso's not coming here, unfortunately. And now we're going to find out about the rust factor with the Phillies. Right, like they have not played in a while. They haven't played a meaningful game in a while. But the Phillies are minus $1.80. They're the second biggest favorite in this round, and I think the Phillies are David and I's champion, or at least definitely our NL champion. So go Phillies.
Mwah. Al bacio. I believe that means sealed with a kiss. It's a sign as good as a kiss is the chef's kiss, which is an appreciation of a particularly good dish, a good meal. Mwah! The chef's kiss. I love it. I thought that was, first of all, I don't want my chefs doing it. I'm not sure it's really good for the food. But I'll tell you what. I love when he did that. It was just a beautiful moment. He captured that moment perfectly. What an end to the game. I would never have imagined that Devin Williams would have not only blown the save with the three-run homer, but then he gave up the extra run. So it's now 4-2 going into the bottom of the ninth. Not that I thought the Brewers could come back, but I knew they weren't coming back after that. It was the finality of that was stunning. And as I said, before the game started, I would have thought all the Brewers got to do is get a lead because when they hand it over to the bullpen, they're going to lock this down. And that didn't happen, and that was just really surprising. I'm going to be curious to see what happens in the playoffs. We've already had like a really nice start to the playoffs, but the best teams and the best players have yet to appear. So we've seen some really good players, but we haven't seen the greatest players or the guys we expect to be the heroes of the postseason. That's pretty cool.
It's a good question.
That's the voice of Chris Chelios right there. Now that baseball is down to its final four in both the AL and the NL, what's the biggest surprise and who is the player making an impact that you did not expect?
Well, I don't know that that has been revealed yet. I mean, you know, there are guys that you, like the best players in baseball haven't been playing up to this point. I think I probably expected Skubal to make a big impact, and he did. I think I always expect Frankie Lindor to do well, and he did. He's a great player. Whether you want to talk about Bobby Witt or Seth Lugo or Cole Ragas, whomever from the Royals, that was the team that really surprised me the most. I did not see that one coming. I did not believe that the Royals, as much as you say Detroit had like a whatever it was, 0.02% chance of making the playoffs, the way they made the playoffs, you thought they could do some damage. And that's a kind of a scary young team. The Royals, I did not see winning a series. That is the one that really, out of everything that happened, that's the one that surprised me to start out. They got rid of the Astros, and that I did not see that coming. The Astros have been to, what, the 7 straight ALCSs or something? Crazy, you know. I thought that was the most surprising team. But I think that the players that will take over baseball have yet to be heard from for the most part. Other than, I mean, there's probably 2 or 3 guys like Bobby Witt Jr. and Frankie Lindor and Skubal.
Well, I think maybe the key to this question is that you didn't expect. Maybe that's part. I mean, listen, I don't understand why the Orioles pitched to Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, he's the one guy on that team that is so good, right? When the Guardians are playing the Royals next, right?
Name three Orioles or three Royals.
Right. I can't do it. The catcher Salvador Perez, I believe, yeah, right?
Salvador Perez.
Chuba, you know, he also shops in the Husky section with the maroon corduroy pants. But we talked about it yesterday, and outside of New York, it'll probably be forgotten. Jose Quintana.
The
effort that he put in.
Thank you.
You forget about that because the Mets bullpen melts down after he comes out of the game. He went 6 innings, struck out 5, 1 walk, 4 hits, 94 pitches. His performance was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
On the road, pressure packed, do or die. And then everybody's going to remember the polar bear.
Yes.
They're going to remember Lindor, the play at the end of the game.
Frankie.
They're going to forget that Jose Quintana kept them in it. So I think from a player you didn't expect, I did not expect Jose Quintana to be that good last
night.
That's
a great call. A guy that has had success in both sides of town here in Chicago. One of the nicest guys to come through town. Nice to see him enjoy that last night. I'm most intrigued and I guess surprised, according to the question, by the Tigers. When they left Chicago back in August, did not think they were going to still be playing in mid-October, and that's where they're headed. So the Tigers coming back from where they did, winning the series, eliminating the Astros is the biggest team surprise. The guy I found myself, you know, finding out more about this week, Googling, if you will, his background. Like, where did he come from and how did he get this good? Has he always been this good? Michael King from the Padres. We know about the Padres name pitchers, the guys who are proven and why they are where they are. I didn't know Michael King, the guy who was in the Juan Soto deal along with Drew Thorpe from the White Sox. Now, this was a guy that had 12 strikeouts, dominant performance, one of the best ones of the week as postseason begins. So I guess right now he's the biggest surprise. Great call on Quintana, though. I'm sorry I didn't think of that. Oh, by the way, we got a texter, Mully. We have to be consistent here. Pretty sure that Chuba's name is Chuba, like the musical instrument tuba. Not to be mean, but the right version is just as fun. So it's Chuba Hubbard. We stand corrected.
Was he named after the tuba?
I don't know.
The made-up instrument?
Make beautiful music in Charlotte.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Zach LaVine continues to talk like a guy committed to doing whatever is asked of him. Do you expect Zach to be closer to the player he was before DeMar DeRozan arrived here in Chicago, taking all the big shots as the number one option, or a reinvented version of himself with DeMar DeRozan now gone?
I think the question's interesting because I'm not sure what to expect from Zach LaVine. He sure is talking a good game. You forget how confident and how good of a communicator he is, I suppose. I'm very curious about the first time the Bulls have a last possession chance to win a game. Who takes the shot? Coby White? Zach LaVine? DeMar's gone. So who is that guy? Does he want to be that guy? He used to be that guy. Can he still be that guy? I think he can be. I think he will be. I like Zach.
Well, I think that should be the goal for the Bulls. They want the ball in his hands. They want to show him off so that if these two sides do actually want to break up, you can get something for him because everybody knows they want to break up. Now, are you willing to pay for the guy because of what he can do on the court and with the ball in his hands in a big moment?
I think it's Kobe's team when Zach is traded. So for the first part of the season, we will see Zach take every big shot. He's the alpha of this group, and he's the guy that's been the man before. And I don't think Kobe's gotten there yet. And I think, though, that Kobe will be kind of running the team and taking control of things when Zach is traded. And I do expect him to be traded in season. And I think it makes perfect sense. I think everything he said, everything he's done to this point, has been absolutely correct. And to my mind, that means he's greasing the wheels to get himself out of town. If he were acting up, I think it'd be harder for him to be traded.
So you're suggesting that Zach is behaving this way, being the consummate pro, because he wants to be dealt.
He's showing the league that he's a team player and he can fit in with anybody and he's willing to do anything. And he's also going to be the star of this group because he's the best player out there. And yes, I think it's exactly what he's doing.
Hugely cynical, maybe wildly accurate.
Yeah. I'm both wild and cynical.
I know.
And huge, for that matter.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.